I'm talking to Josh Shea, 2007 Editor of the Year from the National Press Photographers Association. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about this concept of referencing your video. What do you mean by that? How would you define it? And how do you use it when you edit?
Well, referencing video is pretty simple. It's basically just showing what you're talking about, whether it's a VO, a package, or whatever, showing a shot, if you have it, of exactly what the person on air is talking about.
Many TV writers are taught, you know, if you see a dog, say dog.
Right.
But the viewer actually sees that it's a dog. So that's you're not exactly using the referencing to mean describing.
Some of the problem with referencing is that some writers think the word this means referencing. This car, this dog, whatever, is good referencing. Referencing is basically, you know, if you know, you said this guy, maybe it's a guy walking down the street, and if you're doing an interview and he says, you know, yeah, I like to walk every day, well, instead of showing his face, you show him walking because you have video of that. And so it's just a tool to illustrate what you're talking about. You have the ability to show, so you show. And you can do that in a couple of ways. I mean, you could actually show it without explaining it. And that's great too. I mean, if it works, that's ideal. But if somebody actually, you know, specifically talks about something and you have video of it, that's referencing. That's when you use that tool. And it's a powerful tool that reinforces what's being said.
What kinds of mistakes do you think young editors, young photojournalists, reporters, anyone who's just beginning to edit, what kinds of things do you see them doing that if you had just that one chance to say, please, don't, you know, avoid this, what would it be?
I think photographers, and this might be the hardest thing to do, but it's just being ahead of the action. I get a lot of stories, and they're very difficult to edit because the photographer had no idea what was going to come next. That, and, you know, I mean, this would go for reporters, too. I mean, your life experiences, everything that has led you to be a functional human being that got you, you know, to this point, you know, to kept you alive, still applies when you're shooting news. You know what somebody's going to do before they do it in most cases. And if you don't, that's the moment, you know? I mean, that's when you're anticipating what's coming next and something unexpected happens, you have it because you were there, and that's the moment that happens. And that's what leads to, you know, the surprise, the emotion to the viewer is that I had no idea that was going to happen. And, you know, it's the same thing with you, and that's why you have to stay ahead of that action, because you know, when that moment comes, you have to be in position to get it.
And for editors, I guess I'm thinking of something in particular that we didn't have a problem with 10 years ago because people were still learning tape to tape. Now they're learning to use, you know, pretty high-end digital editing. What kinds of traps do they fall into because they can do certain things?
Well, a jump cut is a jump cut is a jump cut, and if you dissolved around a jump cut, it's still a jump cut. And I would rather to see the jump cut myself, because I feel like when you do the dissolve, you tried to trick me. You know, if I'm a viewer, and you got lazy and you did a dissolve, you know, it was a trick. And honestly, I mean, I've told our editors this. I would rather see you do a jump cut, you know. And if you take it by the textbook meaning of, you know, somebody, either the action not matching or somebody moving from location to location, some of that's forgivable, you know, as you learn it, but being lazy is not forgivable.
Do you find that because there are certain things you can do with a digital editing program easily, that used to take a lot of time, that people overuse them, even if they're not trying to cover up mistakes, they're still overused?
Yeah, it's easy. For editors, it's easy to do because, you know, if you have ability, you want to showcase that ability. And that, I think that's one way that it manifests itself, is that, you know, ooh, look what I can do, look at me. As opposed to doing it on the storytelling side, I would rather let the story speak for itself, myself, instead of, because what this really comes down to is that when you express yourself as an editor in that manner, it becomes about you. You know, it's more, you're cutting those stories more for, you know, the editor next to you than you are for, you know, the person involved in the story, the viewer, you know, anybody else that's going to see the story. You did it to show off. And it comes down to the story. I mean, I was talking to this one girl about overproducing a piece in the editing booth. And it was kind of a weird moment where I just kind of thought to myself, this is like the MTV show Pimp My Ride. You know, when you have a bad story and you put all these, you know, effects on it to try and jazz it up. And, you know, it's like Pimp My Ride. It's still a Pinto. You know, you can put as much stuff on it as you want. You can put nice rims, but it's still a Pinto, and you're still driving home in a Pinto.